welcome to this episode of Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor.
And I'm Jason Hendrick with Everybody's Hungry.
So we've hit the honey ale, the honey avocado ale, and we just finished up with the Jubilee ale from Island Brewing Company.
Which would have been a great finish on its own.
Right.
But we have one more in the lineup.
You want to make sure that you go back and look through the archives to find that episode, because we hit just all kinds of pairings. We had a food pairing. We had a just living life, enjoying life pairing, beer pairing. We had a breakfast pairing.
So, and we had pairings during the break that you missed out on.
They were all over the place. And it's just a great beer to enjoy. We're moving on, though, to Starry Night Stout. This beer is maybe, for Island Brewing, might have the most accolades for them.
Yeah.
Not just from us, you know, gushing over them, but this beer in 2012 won the Gold Award for the Foreign Style Stout at the World Beer Cup. So this beer went up against all the other Foreign Style Stouts from across the world, came away with the gold, and it won a 2012 gold medal at the Great American Beer Festival.
There's so many reasons why it won, though. I mean, right now, just revisiting this beer, all those accolades make sense. There's a lot of great aroma. I must be in the camping or outdoors tip right now, though, because
it's hard to get away from it.
It is. I'm getting some really awesome savory notes, almost like a charred beef fat, like throwing a big steak on the grill.
Charred beef fat.
There's a little bit of butteriness in there, like you do with, you know, your great vegetables, and, you know, maybe even, like, if I were to just jump right in, as simple as it is, some butter, parsley, new potatoes would, I think, is a really good start for this.
Yeah.
Because you're getting creaminess, starchiness, that parsley is going to add just enough fresh vegetable or herbaceousness.
I want to, before we get going too far,
I'm hungry. Let's eat dinner.
I know, you dove right in. What I was thinking, I should have told him that I kind of want to delineate what a foreign stout is.
Yeah, please.
So we've got these, you know, what I think there's four different stouts in the BJCP category. There's dry stout, there is an oatmeal stout, there is the foreign stout, there is a Russian imperial stout. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of in that range of alcohol to flavor to heaviness kind of range. And so you look at a dry stout and you look at Guinness. Anytime you see a dry stout, you know that this beer is going to be really light. You're talking probably in the neighborhood of 4%, 5%, somewhere in that range. And it's going to be really, it's going to have that really roasty flavor, almost acrid. And this is where people go get their opinion of dark beers. Sure. Oh, it's a dark beer. I don't like it
I think it's, for me, I like dry stouts, again, because you said, you know, ABV is often low. So it could be a really nice flavor beer where you're getting a lot of depth without, let me say this too, a lot of depth in the roasty direction,
right,
but without too much ABV or feeling full. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think they're complex necessarily in the dry stout category.
Right, they're one-sided, certainly.
Yeah.
And then you get to the oatmeal stouts, which kind of, you know, level that off with the oatmeal, which gives it this really nice mouth feel, which helps to smooth things out a little bit.
And it's a little touch of sweetness.
Right. And then you end up, well, and then there's also the milk stouts on the other. So there's another part. There's a whole other one that I totally forgot about, which has lactose in it, which gives it a really great milkshake sort of flavor.
Oh, it can be delicious.
And then we hit the foreign stout, which has a higher ABV. So there's more more alcohol, more sugar in this beer to help balance that roasty. And then you go to the imperial stouts, which are, you know, there's a certain amount of roastiness in those, but there's so much sweetness and alcohol sweetness in those beers that they're, the only way that they're balanced is with this roasty component. But a lot of times those are just so thick and viscous that it just comes through sweet.
Well,
I don't mean to say that it sound like I don't love, because I love Imperial
Stouts.
We're
actually in the same wavelength right now, though, because if it's not out there yet, I need help from you and our buddy Eric to do a Russian Imperial Stout. I want to call it the Conqueror, name patent pending, if it's not out there already. Because the Russian Imperial Stout for me is, it's just it's like a big fist of flavor and filler. Like, I mean, it really makes you feel full. You can only do one of those or share a bomber. They can be so delicious, though. They have a lot of end of evening or end of meal ramifications Definitely. And delivery. But yeah, Hophead Said Brings You the Conqueror would be an awesome marketing ploy.
I like that. There is the Czar. However, I have not seen a Conqueror. And the Czar is by Avery, and that's a fantastic one. So you've got, you know, we're talking about Imperial Stouts, the Czar, the Yeti, two of my favorites, and both of those are California beers, Colorado beers, I should say. This one, though, the Starry Night Stout finds that medium in between the dry stout and the Imperial Stout.
Sure.
Collecting all of those great things in between it. So it has the roasty up front and
it's,
notes.
It's prominent. The roasty is in there both on the palate and in the aroma.
Then you take the oatmeal-esque sort of silky mouthfeel that you get. Then you have the lactose where there's just this tiny bit of sweetness. And then you have on the other side, this big chocolatey flavor that comes afterwards, you know, from after you take a drink. It's no wonder that this thing won these golds because it hits that middle mark beautifully.
And one of the things I can't deny that there's actually a little bit of fruit in there. There's some underlying, what I'm really thinking and where my mind's going is dark chocolate covered candied orange rind. Mm. Or dark chocolate cherries. My grandfather used to love the dark chocolate cherries. I'm losing my mind right now in terms of the box. I can see the image. We'd always get him a box for Christmas, though. And they're pretty prominent. It's not a sweet cherry. You're not thinking fruit in the way that the name cherry kind of elicits, but there is something about the way that the finish comes to the forefront that leaves me with a little bit of a dark chocolate and fruit mix. Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading the description on the back of this and kind of to get to the point that you were just making with some of these things. If I had read the back of this, then, you know, all these kinds of things are right there in front of us. I waffle back and forth on whether I should be prepared for this show or if I should just let it fly, you know.
There's some happy medium. There's a middle ground somewhere.
I feel confident enough with my beer knowledge that I can just kind of, I feel comfortable letting it fly. But you reading the back of this, and so we're talking about these chocolate notes and all these other things that you were just talking about. I think where we're getting this cherry, this bitter kind of orange peel sort of kind of flavor is the hops that are being used in conjunction with the chocolate malts or the roasted malts. And so those two are blending together. They're using Magnum hops, which have a really high potent bittering quality.
Okay.
So that bitter sort of tannic, like almost
orange pith that may be where I'm getting that from.
What I love about Magnum hops, and I use Magnum hops in my IPAs, is they have a mineral quality, a salty sort of quality that I love, that I find heightens the hop presence, the hop profile. On the back of it, it's also talking about how it's using flaked barley, which is similar to using oatmeal, because oatmeal is flaked as well, and the giving it its head and the silky mouthfeel. So all the things that we talked about are in this, like, in this half paragraph.
Thank you, Island, for putting it right on the label.
Right there on the back side of it. But the combination of, you know, you can talk about that there's this dark chocolate and there's these other things, and then we use these Magnum hops, but it's not talking about how these things combine together to make this bitter orange peel or this bitter citrus peel.
I think that's a great notation about this beer too, though, is that not any one flavor is so distinct that they felt it appropriate or necessary to put it on the label on the front. You know, it's not a dark chocolate cherry stout. It's not a fruit stout, or it's not an earthy stout. The description is Starry Night Stout. Mm-hmm. That's their nomenclature. And I think it's because all these flavors are just kind of bouncing, almost like a washing machine effect, right? They're in there and they're just tumbling mm-hmm. together. And there's sometimes you can see the t-shirt and sometimes you can see the jeans in the washing machine. But here you're getting some dark chocolate, roasty notes, some nuttiness, some fruit. It's just all, it's hard to distinguish each one by itself, but coming together, it's a great pairing.
I think that this could be a great laundry pairing, that if you're sitting and doing your laundry,
yeah, if you're just chilling on the couch waiting for the dryer to finish,
just waiting for that,
I love
for
it,
the timer to ding, that this is a good one to have to
that
to
may be
to.
Our first pints and non-food pairing.
Oh, we've had a few, but this is certainly the first laundry pairing that we've had. You know, you're talking about a lot of things there in that, and I got sidetracked on the laundry pairing, but so we're talking about how I really like the Magnum hops because of this mineral sort of quality, this salty sort of aspect that I pull out of the hops. A traditional or maybe just a popular food pairing is oysters and stouts. And because of that salinity and everything else that comes through, I think that those two put themselves together really well. There's a nice creamy aspect of this beer that would help coat your palate a little bit, so that if you're on the fence about whether you like oysters or not, that this would help sort of soothe that. And okay. The combination of that, the salty brininess would help to elevate the chocolate and maybe the roasty. So if you really like a dark roast coffee, trying the oysters with this would help to elevate that as well.
That's an interesting pairing. This is one of those beers where I consciously stay away from the obvious. I mean, the dessert pairings and implications of this beer, they're just so blatant. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. But it did get me thinking down the path of like what could mimic some of those notes of a dessert. And it took me into a brunch realm, like a croque monsieur or a croque madame sandwich with that. Especially if you're going, I always get them mixed up. It's like Manhattan and New England clam chowder, right? Red or the white. But with the croque monsieur and the croque madame, they're basically the same sandwich. One is adding a fried egg. But you're getting a really great egg batter and kind of yeasty egg bread as your base. You're getting a wonderful cheese, great ham, a fried egg. I think especially if the egg is cooked right, that kind of protein-rich creaminess of the yolk with the creamy sweetness of the cheese and the saltiness of the ham, mm-hmm. plus that sweet egg batter could be a really cool way to go.
It hits a lot of the aspects of those of this beer, and leaving just the one sort of chocolatey flavor to kind of, which is what's going,
you wouldn't need a cup of coffee with that brunch.
Right, and it lingers, the chocolate part is what lingers. And so, you know, as adding something to that, that's a resonating pairing all the way through, but then you're left with just this wonderful chocolate flavor when you're done taking a sip of beer. One of the things I'm finding surprising about this beer, though, as it's warming up in our tasters, is that there's a certain amount of smokiness that is starting to come through. The bitter chocolate, it's almost reverse of what I would think, is that there's the smokiness is hitting, and then it's kind of being washed away by this bitter chocolate. And it's one of those aspects of, if I was going to create a beer as I'm formulating a recipe for a homebrew, thinking about what I want and how I want, and then, you know, what are my flavors, what do I want it to look like, and all this, one of the things that I always look for with my beers is that it leaves you with the urge to take another drink.
Yeah.
And so you're left with this bitter chocolate.
And we call that the drinkability.
And a little smoke. And even though this is, you know, this beer comes in at 7%.
It feels bigger.
Yeah, it feels bigger. But, and even though that it feels bigger, I still want to take another drink. You know, that it's just, it's a mouth, a palate cleansing sort of sensation, even though it's still full of smoke and chocolate, and you just go, oh, you know what, I think I should take another drink. washing that away, replenishing all of the fun stuff that came before that, and then all of a sudden you're left with this bitter chocolate again.
This is definitely a beer that you want to enjoy through the temperature spectrum, just like a great cup of coffee. As it starts to cool, and then in this case, as it starts to warm, kind of going in the opposite directions, mm-hmm. More flavors and aromas are going to come out. I'm gonna finish up with two pairings. One's obscure, and you're going to be like, what the hell? Maybe you won't do that. No. But as it's warming up, it does take on a lot of the notes you're talking about for me, even into kind of the radicchio, charred lettuce kind of realm. Mm-hmm. And what is almost chicory. And what's a great pairing with chicory and coffee? But a beignet. Mm-hmm. You want to go to New Orleans, you got to go to Cafe du Monde. You got to get yourself a big, fluffy, sweet, piping hot, steamy beignet full of powdered sugar. Right. Sweetness, yeasty, buttery, mm-hmm. all those things are going to go great. But coming back, there's similar, for me, there's almost like a residual celery kind of note. There's something about that aftertaste and mouthfeel of celery that sits here for me. Why not go old school with just some celery peanut butter sticks? So you're getting nutty and sweet and earthy, and then that crisp vegetable or vegetal aspect that'll cut through some mm-hmm. of those dark chocolate and roasty notes.
Yeah, I have only come across one beer pairing that I think that I love with peanut butter, and now I have two. That you know, when you said celery with peanut butter too, I think I could just eat, just have a peanut butter sandwich, maybe even just a spoonful of peanut butter with this one. You know, it would be similar to the Reese's Pieces minus the milk chocolate. It would Ooh. Be a much, for me, it would be a more interesting version of
like
the
that.
Reese's peanut butter cup. I love Reese's peanut butter cups, but if they made the, you know, if I could get my hands on dark chocolate ones.
If we could do a Starry Night infused dark chocolate peanut butter cup.
Right.
We know some pastry chefs and mm-hmm. some candy makers. We should maybe talk to them about this.
Well, you know, so when I first learned of Starry Night Stout, maybe I knew about it before, but one my favorite chocolate maker in Carpinteria, Chocolates do Calibresin. Calibresin, they do when it over, what's the holiday, Irish, St. Patrick's Day. There we go.
What's that one?
When what they do a Starry Night Stout infused ganache.
Excellent. And, yeah, Jean-Michel is very talented.
And it works wonderfully. And yeah, just infusing this beer into the chocolate, into the peanut butter, into a ganache is inspired, to say the least. Certainly inspiring even. So, you know, you need to go and find this beer. And if you're here in California, that's going to be much, much easier for
if
you.
If you're not in California, we may or may not know individuals who can help trade out some of this beer. I don't usually say that on this show because we like to run straight and narrow. But there's great beer across the country that we want to get you to try, and we want to try.
Right.
So certainly. We may know people that can help Starry Night Stout make its way to a good home.
Definitely, because this is a beer that when you walk into your local supermarket, it's there with all, you know, four or five of their other beers, but it's there, and we can always get our hands on yep. this. And so it's always there. It's a great beer to throw into the mix and to pull out for not even a special occasion, but just to no, wow just your friends just with an a great evening to,
you know, and I, just as a movie pairing or a show pairing in November, Walking Dead kicks back in. This is a good beer, especially because the flavors are going to intensify or change a little bit as it warms. During that hour show of Walking Dead, you can enjoy yourself some Starry Night Stout.
I like that. I was thinking of a 30s-esque show.
Oh, interesting. Going period piece.
Going period, yeah, with the Starry Night as in flapper sort of kinds of motifs, but I've got all kinds of public domain movie things on my mind from a video project that yeah. I'm working on, looking for free movie pieces that I can use in movie production. In video production.
I like where you're going with this, though, because visually it's a dark, you know, really black and roasty beer. Taste-wise, it listens to that. Let's just watch the original black and white Casablanca and finish our glass as they're standing there at the plane. I don't know if it's going to be tonight. or tomorrow night. It works.
It does. It would. For a number of things, whether or not you like the romantic Nazis are taking over the world kind of movie, or
something just, more lighthearted.
Or something lighthearted, yeah. So, you know, go find this. Look at, search for Island Brewing, islandbrewingcompany.com, and find out, read all their stories. It's a great story. If you ever get a chance to drive up and down the coast, 101, you're four blocks from it, when off the 101, easy drive through Carpinteria. It's this, I love Carp. It's quintessential California sort of surfing beach town.
Yep.
Or if you're taking the Surfliner up and down the coast, that's, you're a block away from the Carpinteria stop. It's a perfect time just to get off. You know that the next train's going to be coming in another hour or two. Go have a couple beers, get back on the train.
Quality timing to have a beer.
It is perfect timing. You know, give us a like on the YouTubes and the face pages and all of those other things.
Don't show your age, Chris. Right.
So just whatever you use, just like us and follow hashtag beer suggestion years and hashtag pints and pairings. We've got our tweet decks open and we're watching. So if you throw us a bone, we'll
respond to it.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. So
that's it. Else? This has been a great day of broadcasting again, featuring Island Brewing Company's lineup with their Jubilee Ale. If you didn't see that episode, go back and find it. The Avocado Honey Ale, which was a really great kickoff to this series of three beers today, and finishing with the Starry Night Stout. So,
perfect.
As always, we'd love having you here at the Pints and Pairing Show.
Yeah, thanks for watching. And as always, I want to remind you to eat, drink, and be happy.
We'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.